How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
So at the front end, I want to, you know, that we're to reign in life by one Christ Jesus. That means we're to be on top of life. Life is not supposed to be on top of us, right? That's what we talk about when we're reigning. And there's one great hindrance to reigning, which we talked about on Sunday, and here it is. Here's how Jesus chose this illustration of the man with a plow. And he said, now watch this, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I want you not to miss this, that a person who looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, that doesn't mean you don't belong in the kingdom of God. It does not mean you're going to get kicked out of the kingdom of God, thank goodness. It doesn't mean you're going to be ejected or rejected from the kingdom of God. It simply means that if we look back, we're not fit for the kingdom. In other words, we spend some time on this diagram, and here's our old life. This is the kingdom we used to be in. And then we entered this new kingdom. We transitioned over here by being born again. And we were born into this new kingdom of God. And here's the problem, is that if we look back, and Jesus chose this illustration of a plow, you can't plow if you look back. You can't function in the kingdom if you look back. And so looking back makes us unfit for the kingdom. In other words, it's a hindrance so great that we are unable. Not only are we unfit, but if we're not fit, then we're not able to function. And so we learned this on Sunday, that looking back causes this unfit condition. You had to run a race, but you weren't fit to run. You couldn't run. You have to be in condition. You have to be fit for a race. You have to be fit for a basketball game or whatever an endeavor you do. You have to be fit for your employment. And in the kingdom of God, the one thing that makes us unfit to reign, to rule in life, to function properly in the kingdom, is if we are looking back. Now, let me go back to this diagram here just for a moment. So if we're over here in the kingdom and we're always looking back here, then we can't go forward here. We can't accomplish here what we should be accomplishing because we are looking back. And it is, watch this now, what it is this activity of looking back to our past which prevents us from being fit and prevents us from being able to function properly in the kingdom of God. All right, now let's go on. Not only does it mess with our function, but looking back prevents the old from passing away. Look at what Jesus said. If any man be in Christ, and this is everybody that's in Christ, they are new. They are a new creation. Now watch this. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. Now watch this. Because I suggest to you that when Jesus was calling disciples, but they wanted to do things from their past, he said, no, you're not fit for the kingdom. I suggest to you that looking back prevents the old life from passing away. By looking back, we give life to the old life. Are you following what I'm saying? This is the problem. Here we are. Let's just let these X's represent all kinds of things that we did in the past, sins, hurts, damage. People sinned against us. People hurt us. We hurt others. The devastation could have taken place. And then you passed into this new kingdom of God. If in this kingdom of God, we are always looking back at this damage that occurred to us, this hurt that somebody did to us, this what happens is we take this thing and we bring it over into here. It is in our conscious mind. We are thinking about it over here. We have brought the past into the new kingdom so that this can't pass away like it should. So it really is important to understand what Jesus said, that he that looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And we want to be fit so we can function. So it prevents the old from passing away. And then looking back prevents the all from becoming new. Back to the scripture again. If anyone be in Christ, they are a new creation in this new kingdom. Old things are passed away. Now watch this. All things are become new. Now watch this. Watch the screen with me. Watch the scripture. How many things? Everything should be new. Let me see if I got the diagram. Yes, here it is. So, in the illustration Jesus gave that a plowman cannot plow if he looks back, and you understand the logical reasons why? Of course. So, anyone who looks back is not fit for the kingdom. Because looking back makes us unfit to function here, unable to function here. I mean, it just wipes us out. We're not fit for the kingdom, Jesus said. And then, if we keep looking back, we bring this into the now. And the damage goes on. This is why... Why did that happen? I don't know. This happened before. Well, come on, hold on. Computer? Here we are. Oh, it's my tie catching on this keyboard. Sorry. Actually, it's my stomach. The tie couldn't do it by itself. It's part that hasn't passed away yet, but this work we're working on it, aren't we, Mrs. J? And we want you not to miss this. Resentment comes from the French verb sentir, which means to feel. So resentment means to re-feel, to re-feel, to re-feel, to re-feel. Now watch this, because if we look back at this, we will feel it again. If somebody did you bad and you keep looking back at it, you will re-feel the past in the present. That's why people don't heal. That's why people could be damaged when they were 12 years old and 35 years later, at age 4 to 7, they still, if you ask them, hey, tell me about yourself, guess what they talk about? They go back to the thing, because they still feel it. By looking back, we empower the past to stay in our present. So Jesus says it this way, that like the plowman who looks back, we're not fit for the kingdom of God. We can't be everything we should be, do everything we should do. We can't conquer everything we should conquer. We can't do exploits. We are somewhat weakened, anemic, because we lack fitness. And I suggest to you that you don't make any mistake about this problem. And don't underestimate the damage of looking back, because it makes you unfit. Secondly, unable to function. Thirdly, it brings the old back into the present so it can't pass away, because you keep it alive by looking back. And fourthly, the all things. Now watch this. Everything in this kingdom should be new. New, 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 new. How many things become new? Everything. Now, we face some fundamental problems in Christianity because people who today call themselves Christian and haven't got the power to blow the fuzz off a peach. I mean, we got sick Christianity. We got anemic. We've got wishy-washy, soulless, sapless, spineless, shriveled version of Christian. No soldiers anymore. Holiness has leaked out. And we're trying to function. We confess to be in the kingdom, but the truth of the matter is that we're largely unfit. And stuff isn't going the way it should. Our power with God has been limited. Our power with man has almost been canceled. Because the world doesn't look at what we say, it looks at what we live. That's why the apostle said, ye are epistles seen and read of all men. So, the testimony of our lips is necessary, but it's inadequate without the testimony of our lives. And the biggest need, I think, in America today is authentic Christianity. No pretenses, no hypocrisy, no sham, but not like the little Chinaman said, well, talky-talky and no walkie-walkie. Somehow we should be able to walk the talk, and the walk ought to be so extraordinary that they listen to the talk. Yes, come on now. Now, that's what the Lord wants us to do. So living in this kingdom, living this kingdom here can only be done if we cancel this one hindrance, which is looking back. Because if we will do that, then we will be fit for the kingdom, functioning in the kingdom by kingdom principles. We will be clear and clean of the old life, and everything will become new. And that's where we left off on Sunday. We went some other areas, but it's the foundation because I'm going to take a diversion off the path now. Remember Lot's wife, right? Remember Lot's wife. She looked back and turned into the biggest pile of preservatives you ever saw. Pillar of salt. That's why Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. All right. Now, what I want to talk about tonight, because I'm finished on a little bit of the review from Sunday, and this is obviously is totally inadequate, but at least I want this to be the premise, because what I want to talk about tonight is how does this all become so new? So, all things are become new. So this is what we want to learn tonight. What's new about the new life? So let's learn a few basics. Number one, God is always doing something new. So now we've departed from the teaching note page from Sunday, and now we're on a blank sheet, okay? This is what God says. I will do a new thing. And by the way, let me ask you a question about God. Can you imagine that this creative person of God has quit creating? I don't think so. I mean, we live on a planet which is one tinsy-wincy little piece, less than the size of a grain of sand by comparison with all the sands of the oceans of the world. Scientists now tell us there are more stars in the sky than there are sands in the seas. In other words, if we had the ability and the time and we could all go down to the beach for a while and count the number of sands and tally them up in number and circumvent the whole state of Florida because we got some really nice sand beaches. And then if you thawed some of Canada and you could count the sands up there, and if you surrounded the Great Lakes, and then if you went around the whole Atlantic and the whole Pacific and the Indian Ocean, if you melted the subarctic, if you could count all the sands in the world, let me tell you two things about them. Are you ready? To me, this is astounding. I almost hate to say it because my lips are not worthy to say what I'm about to say to you, to contain the truth. In Psalm 139, it says this: God's thoughts about you are more in number than the sands. Whoa, whoa. And secondly, through optic telescope and radar telescopes, which we have now been able to penetrate the universe deeper than optically through a lens, now we pick up the sounds that are coming from outer space. Sounds by which, by the way, that come from the galaxies. Sounds come from the galaxies, and so that's what a radio telescope does. It picks up the presence of galactic systems in the universe by picking up the sounds coming from the stars. See, does the stars send out sounds? Scripture says they do. Scientists now say they do. We now have the ability to detect the sounds coming from the stars. Scripture says the stars sing out. Hebrew word renan, R-E-N-A-N, means a high, shrill sound. Stars, now we've been able to see that the myriad of what's out there, every star, the multitude of them is greater than the number of sands. Now, you see, some people got this idea that God's done everything, now he's not doing anything else anymore. But if we had time to look through the scripture, God is constantly doing new things. I will do a new thing. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I'll make the way in the wilderness. God is always doing something new. I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things that you didn't know them. They are created now and not from the beginning. Don't miss that. He is currently creating. Now, when did the scientists have got it straight, finally? That the universe is in a constant state of expansion. There are parts of the universe where light has never reached yet. Did you know that? That's why the Bible talks about Satan and the devils are ultimately going to be cast into outer darkness. That's where light has never reached yet. So, look at it. God says they're created now, not from the beginning. Even before the day when you heard them not, lest you should say, I knew it. God's always creating. Then we learn from Scripture that the Lord's mercies are new every morning. And so this verse in Lamentations has become the base verse upon which we have that great hymn of the church written, Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Thy compassions, they fail not. Written from this verse. Why? Because it's about these mercies and they are new every morning. Let me tell you how important this is to you and to me. In the kingdom, We don't look back. But there's stuff that happened today that wants to be in my tomorrow. So God comes along and he says, my mercies are new every morning. You see, by the mercy of the Lord, what happened to me yesterday isn't on me today. Because of his mercy, his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. That's how it's possible in the kingdom for every day to be brand new. Hallelujah. 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 God is always creating new. And one of the things new every morning, mercies of God. So, that means that every day is new. In other words, in the kingdom, if we don't look back, every day, I don't know what where this term came from, brand spanking new. I don't know what the spanking thing is. That's not a word I particularly liked in my youth. Oh, it's like a new baby. Right? You spank them to get them to yell out, right? Get them to breathe. That's where, everybody got that? You probably knew it, and I'm the only one in town that didn't. Well, I've told you before, I spent most of my life preaching to wiser and smarter people than myself. It's really true, really true. Every day is brand, every day is a new day when you're walking with the Lord. Every day. Because the mercies are new every day. Now watch this. Because this is the design of God for in the kingdom to stay new. Look at this now. And it's for this cause that, look at this, we don't faint. And even though our outward man is suffering, or watch this, yet the inward man is renewed, made new day by day. Whoa, tomorrow's going to be a great day. Now, y'all looking kind of dead-faced at me. If you can get this, I'm telling you something. Tomorrow, every tomorrow you have is going to be like that shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. Every day is new. Stop having such a sense of history. Because in the kingdom, everything becomes new. Well, that ought to knock a whole lot of worry out of you. That ought to damn a whole lot of self-fear. Because you're going to get renewed day by day. Inside here. Glory to God. Oh, I'm doing better than you are. Now watch this, because Jesus wanted not to miss this. So he spent a few verses on this. He spake a parable unto them. No man puts a piece of new garment upon an old garment. I've tried it. And if you're wearing through and part of your pants, you get some new material and try to sew it on there, it will not work. Because then both the new makes a hole, a rip. And the piece that was taken out of the new doesn't agree with the old. All right. Wait till you see what's yet to come in this scripture. But before we get there, God doesn't want you in the kingdom to have a mixture of old and new. He wants everything to be new tomorrow. He's always doing new stuff. His mercies are new every morning to make the provision, the basis, the solid, the foundation. And he wants you to be renewed and new tomorrow without the mixture of yesterday or last week or last month or last decade or last lifetime. Imagine this. The old and the new can't get along. They cause rips. Oh, beloved. It is really important that the old things pass away and that everything tomorrow is new. Watch this. So he used this illustration, then he gave another one. And he said, no man puts new wine into old bottles. Now, back in those days, the bottles were skins of animals sewn together. An old one, been around for a while, the skin's kind of dried. And then you put the new wine in and it expands. Guess what? It splits and you lose. The new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. God wants you so new tomorrow, but if you try to put the new stuff that God's got for you in what you have been and what used to be, you'll break the bottle. You can't contain it. So you got to stay new with the new. Now watch the next verse. The new wine must be put into new bottles. Both are preserved. Now watch this. No man, having drunk the old wine, straightway desires the new, because he thinks the old is better. Some people are afraid of stuff to become new because they're more secure in the old. Let me ask you a question. How much have you changed in the last 30 days? Or are you in this last 30 days just repeating sort of like the 30 days before? And the 30 days before? That causes stagnant Christianity. Like, my goodness, there ought to be bursting through us the life of God every day. In new ways, new experiences, new ideas, new thoughts. You're going to see that in a moment. Because the kingdom is like that. The kingdom functions when there's no looking back, and your fit and your function keeps the old behind you and everything in front of you brand new. And lots of people are content to have a Christianity today that they had last week or last month, when in fact, I'm asking God to give you a holy dissatisfaction with what you've been. Because maybe until we get rid of the old, yeah, look at this now. He says, doesn't go to the new straight way because he thinks the old is better. We are to live in newness. Now watch this. This is what baptism illustrates, says we are buried by him in baptism unto death. And in the same way that Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Now watch this. Even so we also should walk in newness of life. Whoa! New stuff tomorrow. New everything tomorrow. New! Because the power of the Spirit comes to make it new. God says, I make all things new. Watch. Look at that. We should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. You got some letter, some tradition, something in writing that says it was supposed to be that way, and God wants to scrap it so that we serve in newness. I don't know about you, but I like new stuff. I had my day of buying old stuff, used stuff. Now, I'm not knocking you. If you can't afford it like I can, that's okay. God's going to heal your finances so you can get new stuff. Somebody should say amen to that. You want my old stuff? Doc's got some of my old stuff. It is still pretty good, isn't it? It's good as new. It's good as new, yeah. When I was a kid, my first car was an old one. 1953 Volkswagen. Had to push it to start it, and it would get vapor locks all the time. And you'd have to open the back hood up, throw water on it, cool it off, and then crank it, and it'll run for another 20 miles. I don't live there anymore. I don't want to live there anymore. I like new stuff. Now, there's some old stuff I like if somebody else owns it. I like looking at antique cars, but you drive it, not me. I just look at it. I can get all I need out of looking at it. I don't need to own it. I don't want to live a secondhand life. I don't want to repeat tomorrow what I did yesterday. I don't want to spend the next 10 years simply doing more of the stuff I've already done. I don't think God wants us to live in that stagnant, non-growing, non-developing, non-thinking, non-new. And of course, you know my illustration, not to minimize, the illustration is only an illustration. Don't go out and buy a car you can't afford. But we should serve in newness of life. New life is not something you got and you never get any more of. See, new life is this springing forth of God in us. Oh, the biggest hindrance to mental, emotional, and spiritual development is looking back. That prevents new ideas, new thoughts. You see? Now, notice the newness of spirit. We should serve in newness of spirit. That means God wants something new in my spirit tomorrow that's not in my spirit today. Hello, is that you? Look at this now. David prayed this after his sin. Created me a clean heart. Look at this. And he knew God was really up to doing this and renew a right spirit within me. If you keep looking back at the failures that you have in your spirit, you will prevent renewal. God wants you not to look back. He wants to renew a right spirit. A new spirit will I put within you. I'll take the stony heart out of your flesh. I'll give you a new heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you. Cause you to walk after my statutes. You shall keep my commandments and do them. Will be a piece of cake for you because I'll put the new spirit in you. I will be your God. Now watch this, because the hindrance to the new is the old. The hindrance to the bottling of the new wine is the old bottle. Now that's why the Lord comes, and this is what he says. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. A new lump. You can become a new lump. You think you're too lumpy already? Let me tell you something. Watch this now. If we purge out the old, you become a new lump. The hindrance to the new is the old. And I'm talking about in your spirit. And I'm talking about in your mind. I'm talking about in your emotions. Goodness knows a bunch of us got too many emotions that come from the past. And every time we look back at them, guess what? We empower those new, we empower those old emotions to become present today. The hindrance to mental health is a focus on the failures of the past. You cannot, listen to me now, you cannot be mentally healthy today if you keep looking back. Looking back causes us to repeat today what was back there. Purge out the old lump, and you become a new lump. I almost wish I could send everybody into a state of suspended animation and come and talk to you one by one. Let the others sort of be zombied out until I get to them. I'd like to look you right in the eye to understand what tomorrow can be. See, the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more. That's why we sang that never was a day like this day. Purge out the old, and you become a new lump. And if you do it, you get new strength. I don't want the same strength tomorrow as I had today. Thank you very much. I want more. I want more strength. And so he promised to renew our strength, mounting up with wings like eagles. Well, this happens if you wait upon the Lord. That might be new for you. Learn. Wait upon the Lord. Learn how to do it in a quality way. doesn't necessarily have to be longer. Do it. Do your Christian disciplines in a new way tomorrow, not the same way you've always done it. Because it's a new day. Now, look at this. Your mind is designed by God to be different today than it was yesterday. God wants your mind different tomorrow than it was today. Oh, this is good news. So the Holy Spirit comes along and says, look at this. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I want my mind to be pure tomorrow than it was today. I want it to be, well, I want it to be new. And if I purge out the old, the new lump. Maybe this means more to me than you. Because in my life, I have had a lot of battles. Philosophically, I stuff really gets to me. This is why I can't let a theological... I don't want to be theologically sluggish or slothful. I have fought in my life since as a young boy great mental battles. I fought great mental battles about the character and the nature of God. I had to get over. I had to come to a new realization that there was nothing unChristlike about the Holy Spirit. There's nothing unChristlike about the Father. I had to come to a knowledge of God where I wasn't worried about opening a closet and finding that God really wasn't as great as what my daddy said he was. I had to get over that. I had to get over what I thought of my father and my mother. I had to get over what I thought of myself. That's probably the hardest battle of all. And the reason why it's such a hard battle is because you look back and you think you are what you were. And you don't see redemption. My zeal for you, beloved, is that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I wish all depression to leave you. And all discouragement to be behind. I wish that you never look back again. But that everything about your mind would be such a renewal. And in addition to having this being renewed in the spirit of our minds. Look at this now. We should put on the new man. What is this new man like? Which is after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. New. Well, you all know this well. Put on the new man. Now watch this, because here's the key to putting on the new man. The new man, which is made new, renewed, in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. This is why I believe that the most important thing in this life is the knowledge of God. It's the knowledge of the Holy One. Because as you get the knowledge of God, it's what The new man is renewed after the knowledge of the image of Him that created you. And the more you get to know about God, the more renewed your mind is. And if you think you got God figured out, if you think you've got Him in a box, you got shocks coming. Here we be, we finite men, and we have the audacity, should I rather say, the stupidity, to think we know God, the infinite God. And that's why, you see, this book contains the knowledge of the holy, and so we pore over these pages. Don't ever take your Bible lightly. Don't park it on the counter when you go home and pick it up when you leave. Because you put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created you. I've been walking this way for 40-something years. Let me see. I'll tell you, 40. Yeah. 44 years, 40. Yeah, a bunch. And I still learn every single day things about God I didn't know before. There are days where I learn a whole bunch, and there's days I just learn a little. But you can ask my wife. My biggest joy in life isn't going somewhere. It's sitting parked in front of the Bible software on my computer. That's how I do it. Because it's what creates new thinking. You know this verse. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm not going to go into this verse very far at all because there's so much there, it'd take forever. But here's the problem. Watch. Once you catch this, you can renew your mind today, and if you look back, guess what happens? You unrenew your mind. Hello? You can unrenew your renewed mind. No man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit. So, new thinking. Well, new prayers. Are you tired of the same old prayers? Prayer is not repetition of the same old thing all the time. In fact, Jesus said, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. They think they shall be heard for their much speaking. I look forward to grace before dinner or after dinner or both. It's a moment in our family. I don't know, Judith, correct me if I'm wrong, but in almost every prayer before grace, it's kind of like a touch of reality. It's not a, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, repetitious thing. This is not an evangelical method of using the prayer beads. Because He has opened for us a new and living way. We have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. What Jesus did was open us a way to really pray. I haven't got to visit with a lot of you in your homes, but I think it would be appropriate for me to tell you that, you know, we have shared a number of meals with the Shirleys, and I love it when Paul prays. I've never heard it before. I've heard him do it a number of times. Watch out you don't teach your children to say prayers, but to pray. Do you know the difference? You can say prayers. But I believe that praying tomorrow ought to be new. New. And I don't want to say the same thing. How boring it must be for God. Maybe the reason I keep praying the same prayers, if we do, it's because we're looking back and say you're praying about stuff that's bothering you from looking back. Well, let's forget looking back. In fact, this verse will rub some of you the wrong way. I ask you to be to have the Spirit of Jesus when you see it. These signs shall follow them that believe. They will cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. Now, I don't want any controversy here about this. Maybe your English tongue needs to change to another English tongue. Maybe that'll satisfy some of you. But I tell you what, this glorious experience with God for our prayers are new. I don't know how to say it as a Spirit help with permanence. So we pray. See, make no mistake about it. You can offend me, but don't offend the Holy Spirit, who said through Paul, I will pray with my understanding, and I will pray in the Spirit. I find my understanding to grow every day, so I can pray better in my understanding. I also find it's really important to pray in the Spirit. Because when I pray in the Spirit, my understanding is unfruitful. It's my spirit prays. He that speaketh in unknown tongues speaketh not unto men, but he speaketh unto God. And as a faithful preacher of God's word, I'm going to tell you the whole truth. And I'm saying, there's a new way of praying. And then, new songs. Now, if I went through the scripture and pulled every scripture out to sing about singing a new song, there's a bunch of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, one that never existed before. do it loud too. Get Christy to bang it out on the keyboard if you want to. Yo, watch this now. Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melodies in your heart to the Lord. Get rid of your inhibitions. It's a new day, and it's required of us a new song. Make it up. It doesn't have to rhyme. Isn't that good? Yeah. If you want it to rhyme, I can help you. I bought a book in the used bookstore yesterday. I'm going to put it in there. It's called The Rhyming Dictionary. Really neat book, by the way. All it is rhymes, words that rhyme from the beginning of a big, fat, thick book like this. If you want it to rhyme, fine. But it doesn't have to rhyme. Let's look at one more verse. Old former things come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you about them. So sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the world. Oh, goodness. Let's get lost tomorrow. Don't let it be. Did you make up a song today? Tomorrow, get started. Tonight, get started. Making up new songs every day. Don't let the devil take the song out of your heart or out of your mouth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. The fact is, everything's supposed to be new. I won't tell you how, what makes possible all the newness of tomorrow. It is the same thing that got you saved. Look at this. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Now what? How did he save us? He saved us by two things. The washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The reason why tomorrow is new is because the Holy Spirit comes in his renewing ability, alive in us, changing us, praying through us, thinking through us. Oh, tomorrow, stop looking back and let everything become new. Look at this. This renewing work of the Holy Ghost, watch this now. Now watch this, is shed on us abundantly through Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ our Lord. Because of what Jesus did, oh, this renewing of the Holy Ghost is shed on us abundantly. Well, and lastly, I want you to get this. The new wine is in the cluster. Let me see if I got any time. Let me see. I think I'm at the end. Yeah. Now let me mention this one. Just write this phrase down there. The wine is in the cluster. The wine is in the cluster. Thus saith the Lord. As the new wine is found in the cluster. You aren't going to get much out of one grape. It's in the cluster. Hello. It's in the cluster. Thus saith the Lord. As the new wine is in the cluster. Now watch this. And somebody said properly, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. The wine is in the cluster, and the blessing is in the wine. Now, what does this mean? Are you ready? There's a Judith grape down here, and a Mike grape over here, and a Faith grape here, and there's a grape over there, and Brother Bob. Well, Bob could be a whole bunch. I don't know. And Julie. Y'all are the cluster. You are the cluster, collectively. Stay in the cluster. The new stuff is in the cluster. A blessing is in it. What is my saying? I'm saying, you stick together, you talk together, hang out together. You go out after church, before church, stay in the cluster. Because new stuff's going to come out of the cluster into you. There's no Lone Ranger Christianity. It doesn't work. The wine is in the cluster. Don't destroy the cluster because the blessing is in it. Amen.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.